First of all, let me welcome you to Central Illinois. I know many of you are from Central Illinois, but particularly this area of Central Illinois, because this is my home Senate district. So what we'd like for you to do before you leave is fill your tank with gas, because we like the motor fuel tax here. And did you all spend the night here? Did you? All right, so you left? No, you didn't, but you got some hotel motel tax left with us too. And knowing that Ray was here, I hope he bought you all drinks. So we got the sales tax revenue left here too. No. If not, he'll buy you now you can buy cocktails at lunch, huh? So I'll go with I want to be sure I know where I'm going to go with this per what your interests are. But we can talk about the Office of Treasurer. We can talk about the campaign for treasurer and the like. But I believe I was asked to speak at least briefly about just campaign politics and where we're at in 2010 cycle overall. You know, my sense, having been literally all corners of the state of Illinois, I have seen the public today more upset than I've seen them at any time throughout any experience I've had in politics. And let me qualify all that is I come from the private sector. I am still yet today with a company called ServiceMaster Corporation. So I've been there 25 years. I've been elected official, but I still am in the private sector. And I tell you that because I think a lot of what I'm hearing from the public today is that this whole issue of government spending, the whole issue of debt, the whole issue of borrowing, the whole issue of pension unfunded liabilities. And then you step to the side and you look at companies that are being dealt concerns, particularly in their pension portfolios and the like. And I know some of you are here from the Central Illinois, Peoria, and broader scope of things, our good friends Caterpillar Tractor, for example. You know, I sat down with their HR people about two or three weeks ago and had a very detailed discussion about where and what they had to go through on their pensions. And they went to a dramatic change, again, away from that defined benefit to defined contribution. So when you see big companies right here in the largest employer in Illinois, and of course in the world, others, our friends at R. Donnelley, and what they've had to do in the private sector to address some of the concerns, that's where myself now being a candidate from the private sector and seeing the discussions on the public sector side, really I think come at it from a pretty realistic approach. And that said, people are upset. They're mad at Republicans. They'll blame some of the stuff from the Bush White House. They're mad at Democrats. They blame some of the stuff from the Obama White House. And then you bring it home here, and the Republican Party has really been in the minority for a long time. And even at that, they're still upset, even at some of the Republicans. But as I look at the geographic breakout and what's going around in Illinois, and I can tell you directly from our own polling, and here I am, a Central Illinois Republican business guy running for the finance officer of the state, and we're winning. And we're winning overall Illinois. And so I've got to step back and say, okay, now what's causing Rutherford to do this over, one, my opponent, but then also as it breaks out, you know, you've probably seen some of the most current polls that came out in the last day or two. The gubernatorial race has tightened up within arguably a point, 2 point, 3 point, 4 point. The U.S. Senate race, same type of thing. And then, but those same polling firms show us up by 8 and Judy Barr, the Republican comptroller candidate, up by as much as even 20 points. And what does that? I think I'm seeing the public really focus in on the issue being the finances. I mean, social issues are important, you know, where you are in regards to, you know, certain parochial issues. If your interest area is developmental disabilities, or your interest area is university funding, or your interest is in agriculture, of course. But I think from the macro, the public today, it's all about financing. So my sense is, aside from the top tier of the ticket, they're looking at the financial officers of the state of Illinois now. And coming at it as a business person, it'll get down to name ID. When you break out the geographics of the state, in order to win a statewide election, a candidate must get between 20 and 25% of the vote. Okay, now it's going to depend on turnout. If Barack's on the ballot for president of the United States, turnout's a little different than if he's not. So, but you need to have that coming out of the city of Chicago. I'm going to come back to that in a moment. We're with our campaign, we're well into that margin. I mean, we're above the 20% mark. So we're in that margin. So that means we're doing what we have to, minimum, in the city of Chicago. Then you go to suburban Cook, and in that market area, you have to be very competitive. we're within that, we're within that range then. Then you go into the Collars, the Lake Kane, McHenry, DuPages, all the way swing down into Will. That has been typically a Republican-leaning area, but the polling numbers that we're seeing, again, our race, which is not as focused of the intensity as the gubernatorial and Senate is, we're doing abundantly well. Then you go to the rest of Illinois, and it's off the charts. I mean, literally off the charts. And I tell you that because my sense from my friends in the Democratic side in preparation for the November 2nd date is they realize in order to win statewide races, they're going to have to invigorate, call it whatever the base is, whatever one may define the base, but they're going to need to invigorate particularly the city of Chicago. And a couple things have just happened recently. Obviously, I think that Mayor Daley's announcement dramatically sucked the oxygen out of the political wind of the city. People, whether it be organized labor, whether it be some of the titans of industry, whatever you may want to call them, I think that, yes, they're very interested in the governor's race, and they're very interested in the Senate race. I'd like to think they're very interested in the treasurer's race, but the whole intensity has moved dramatically towards the focus on the on who could well be the nominee for mayor. I think that sucks some of the oxygen out of the room in the city. It sucks some of the money out of play for some of the Democratic candidates that would have typically come out of the city. But that oxygen suck did not come away from downstate. So I think that the intensity and the propensity for turnout is going to be very high. And I will attribute part of that to Bill Brady's candidacy. But I also attribute to the fact that I think that there's really some unfortunate, to some extent, divisiveness between the feelings of upstate and our downstate and the city of Chicago. It's no secret. So when my Democrat challenger hears some of these tapes later today, it's not a secret in that our focus is in six counties. All right, I'm here with you in Bloomington, because Jacob asked me to be here, and actually next week. So when you'll see, I'm going to be in, Bloomington next week. I'm going to be in Peoria next week. I'm going to be in Toluca. Who knows where Toluca is? I know you do. Some of you know where Toluca is. We're going to be at Mona's. Great food. We're going to be at Toluca. It's a fundraiser. But other than those unique moments, because they're political fundraisers, Dan Rutherford is in six counties. And that's quite obviously intentional. Again, our polling numbers downstate, I want to be careful because this isn't quite right, but we can't get many more percentage votes. I mean, we're that high in the numbers. So how does a candidate like me do that? And it's in the city of Chicago or in the burbs, is speaking at events like I am this afternoon, or speaking as a keynote speaker for the sheriff of DuPage County at his fundraiser and out there tomorrow, John Zaruba. He's got 1,000 people there, and he brings me in to be his keynote, or the Sunday before to be the keynote speaker for the DuPage County Regional Superintendent of Schools. She had 500 people there. And here's this guy from Central Illinois that they want to have be their speaker on it, because again, it's about the finances, about the money. And then when we get down to it, again, it's no secret. When we get down to it and we're starting on our media buy, we've done well raising money. It is very hard to raise campaign money right now. The economy is tight. People that maybe used to write a $500 check or writing a $250 check. But we are doing very well raising money, in significant part because we are really, really positioned for the low-dollar donor. I understand you had a session on social media a little prior to this. Well, we posted on our Facebook page, and we've got a little over 7,000 fans, $20.10 by October 3rd, because that's the deadline for the next reporting period. So $20.10. My office person that handles online money is just about ready to string me alive, because it takes just as much process to enter in the credit card and get the clearance authorization and enter in the database for the reports as it does a $2,010 check. But so we will bring in thousands of dollars on that initiative through Facebook. All right, now I'm no Barack Obama. I mean, I understand he Twittered Biden. Okay, I don't have millions following Twitter to have me tell you who the vice president will be. But we're bringing in thousands and thousands and thousands of low dollar donors through Facebook and through the email connection. And those are the kind of things that I think have built the Rutherford base in the number of donors and the dollars we've been able to raise. When that comes around, we're going to pump it, as you can appreciate, right up in the six counties. Yes, we're going to be having media presence in the other some of the other areas of the state, But the 99.9% of the dollars are going to go in six counties. Because if I can move our numbers greater in the city of Chicago and suburban Cook, there is icing on the cake that I'll be the next state treasurer of Illinois. A question I was asked at a roundtable session with some business folks yesterday or the day before was, how does the top of the ticket affect the bottom of the ticket? And I was very candid about it that, you know, I'm for Bill Brady up front, I'm for Mark Kirk, no secret, I'm for him, but I'm running my own campaign. The better they do, the better it is for all boats. But in case there's an iceberg out there, or in case that, you know, something shifts and moves, I have to be prepared to do what we need to do. And that's where us building our name ID, our infrastructure, our money raising, where we're going to place it. One thing I will tell you, though, is that I think that because we have a strong top of ticket on the Republican side, and particularly in the United States Senate race, is that we are finding resources and attention that we would not have received had it not been as close as it is. So, for example, the Victory Centers, which maybe you've heard about, there's one in Peoria, and there's one in Carbondale, there's one in Bloomington, there, I think there's 17 or 18 of them around the state, is more invigorated on voter ID, having the phone set up and people volunteering and voter ID than I've ever seen it happen before. And that's because of the resources, I think, because of a competitive United States Senate race. That makes it good. The more people identified that could be voters for the cause come out, hopefully they'll go and continue on down the ticket to the bottom of the statewide, and that's the Office of State Treasurer. So that's kind of where I see it. Now, again, I'll go wherever you want to in some of the Q&A side of things, but what I would hope you would have me do is come, whenever you do this annually or whatever, have me come back as your state treasurer, and then I'll tell you as to whether my theories were right or not on this campaign. What kind of questions, thoughts, or comments?
Well, you mentioned finances.
Sure.
Yeah,
no, and that's fair. That's why when I said at the beginning of my opening, I want to talk, I thought I was going to talk to you about the politics to it. If you want to go into sum and substance, I would be more than glad to. As far as the finances of the state of Illinois, you have in front of you a state senator who every 2 years receives this form from a group that says, do you promise never to vote for an income tax increase? Okay. I have never signed one of those pledges. I do not believe it is appropriate to walk into a session in trying to resolve problems when you've already told people where your line is and one arm tied behind your back. Now, I will tell you up front, I will not be voting for an income tax increase at minimum until I see certain things happen. And let's just go with the little bitty stuff first, because I think that the public needs to see some of this little bitty stuff. We can go into the reasons why, but I do not believe that the Illinois State Treasurer's Office needs to spend money on satellite offices. It's not a retail shop like the Secretary of State where you drive to go get your driver's license. We don't need six satellite offices for the Illinois State Treasurer, and that costs money. So I'll close those. Then let's say, okay, Illinois, stop buying paper clips. Now don't go putting no more wildflowers in the medium of the highways. Okay, so you do all of these little bitty things, and you save 50 cents. But you got to do the 50-cent savings because the public can see that. Okay, now once you do that, then you got to go to the meat. And the meat of the problem lies in two areas. It lies in Medicaid, and it lies in public pensions. Today, that big pie called the budget, the largest hunk of it that's cut out of it, bigger than education and bigger than public safety, is Medicaid. So unless we get a handle on that growth and that depth of spending in Medicaid, I don't care if you raise the income tax by 67%, you cannot sustain it. You go to the other side of it is in public pensions, as I briefly commented earlier. Until we get a handle on the public pension spending in this state, and the unfunded liability and all that, I'm just talking about where we are. Until we get a handle on that, it doesn't matter if you raise the income taxes in the state, it will not be enough to sustain itself. Now, yes, the General Assembly last session, and I voted for it, did this little baby bill. It was a little baby step. It was a good thing, but it didn't fix anything. And it was the one that Pat Quinn today can run around and say he did something, and Mike Madigan can say he did something, but they didn't fix it. So now, blunt to your question, it's going to take some tough love. It's going to take a governor. And with all respect, it's going to take a finance officer of the state, like the treasurer, that's willing to substantiate and stand up and take the bully pulpit and tell the public, implement and disperse tough love about those changes. I know right now, good and well, why the Illinois Education Association did not endorse me. I know absolutely why the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees did not endorse me. I know exactly why the Service Employees Union did not endorse me. I mean, when I sat in on those in the endorsement sessions, and the first two questions were, where are you in the income tax? And my answer is, never said I wouldn't vote for one, but I'm not about to vote for one until we fix these two things. Then we go to the second question, public pensions. Well, heck, when I told them where I am with public pensions, I might as well have gotten in my car and driven away because it wasn't going to do any good to sit there any longer and tell them how great a guy I am. And this is where tough love needs to come in right now. And I know what's going on, that there are those that are pandering to that side, and blunt pandering to that side. But unless we fix that in a truthful way, we will have this state in a disastrous zone that it is now, and you raise the income taxes. House Bill 174, Senate Amendment 2, passed the Illinois Senate, raised the income tax by 67% and put a new tax on services in Illinois. Passed the Senate, all Democrat votes, sitting in the House, could pass out of there. I don't think you'll call it right now. Passed the House without one resolution to the spending side. So the answer, in my opinion, is if you have to starve the beast to get the solution to the spending problem, then we got to do it.
Can you sell voters on the idea that it's fiscally responsible to kick people off Medicaid?
No, I don't believe you can. But what you can sell the public on is, in your private health insurance program today, my assumption is you, collectively the public, probably have some kind of managed care program, HMO, PPO, something like that. Medicaid does not. So now you step back and you say that, and they're saying, well, that doesn't quite seem right now, does it? So the answer is no. I'm sorry. The answer is not to go kicking people off of it. First of all, I don't like the idea the way we did all kids. As you know, we didn't do all kids. The governor did. It was litigated and where it all went through that. But all kids, I don't like the way we did that. I don't like the way we did the expansion of the Medicaid eligibility up to the, you know, multiplier of federal poverty. I don't like any of that stuff. I hear your question. Once you've got it, though, it's tough to take it away. So once you got it, you got to manage it in a better way. That I do believe the public will.
The same people who are on, we're not going to roll back the Blagojevich expansions, just manage it better?
I believe that you have to look at managing it better. As to whether you do the rollback or not, I think that will be a much more difficult program, a problem to have to resolve. If there was management better, does that fix the budget problem? Nope. If we change, and cut to the quick stuff, if you change from defined benefit to defined contribution, if you're already an enrollee, what's vested is there, but new part of current enrollees being in defined contribution, does that fix this $13 billion problem we're at right now today? No, it doesn't. But if you don't do that, it's just going to continue to have the bleed go on. Charlie? Probably.
And public school teachers, which we don't know.
Probably.
Which would be a huge cost increment before we realize that you saved it.
Probably. And that's why I addressed it the way I did. If you did all these things, that won't solve today's $13 billion problem. But if you don't do that, it's only going to continue to exacerbate itself. So yes, there's going to be cost to it, and no, it's not going to fix the today problem. But if you don't fix the bleeding, you're not going to be able to ever get it resolved for tomorrow. Sir?
Can you talk a little bit about, your thoughts on your opponents handling the Bright Start college savings plan?
Yeah. You know, I have heard both my opponent and the current treasurer explain that it was market conditions and or a rogue investor. Okay, let's break this in its pieces. The Bright Start program was made up of 21 funds. The one fund called the Core Fund was the one that took the dramatic loss. That was $400 million portfolio. It lost arguably $150 million, $140 million. I mean, it's a window in there. But that was the most conservative of those funds. That was bond fund, not stock portfolio fund. So market conditions really weren't the issue there. So then let's go to the other side of it. It was a rogue investor. Well, how did a rogue investor go for months and months and months, and eventually the portfolio lost 38%? Two things. One, why are they still there? Okay, maybe the personality's gone, but the manager is still there. I mean, doggone it, if there was a rogue investor in some firm that was running millions of dollars and lost as much as they did, they'd be fired. If they were in a company, they'd be fired. Secondly, how did it get this far down the road before you all of a sudden said, okay, we got to do something about it? The difference when Dan Rutherford is the treasurer of Illinois is I'm going to have my chief of staff every week prepare, and if it takes them over the weekend to get it ready, that's fine, so that on Monday morning, I will have the portfolio performance executive summary on my desk. So on Monday morning, because I am the treasurer and I am the guy responsible, I am going to look at that, and if I'm seeing something starting to get a little bit strange, like you're moving towards the 38% mark, I'm going to say, you know, just like in my personal investment portfolio, if I see that thing taking a tank, you know what happens? I'm on the phone with Mark and I say, what is going on here? And then we make a decision. Nobody, in my opinion, they weren't watching the ship. Number two, don't blame it on market conditions. That was the bond fund. And number three, if there was rogues out there, then why in the heck is that firm still managing our portfolios? I understand I'm getting I'm the guy between you and lunch. So is there anyone else that has a question? Because I will. Yes, Willis. Right.
And there's a perception, at least, of a gray area of legality or ethical
sure.
Going on here. Why not return those donations? And since there is the perception of gray area, just to erase all that.
Let me go to two things here. First of all, there was a donation of about $900 that came from a vendor in Illinois that was later to be learned a registered vendor within Illinois. The vendor, by law, is to give notice to the person they sent. This came out later, since she didn't finish the rest of the story. So now that I've got you all here and I'm between you and lunch, I'm going to finish the rest of the story. That vendor is required by law to tell that person that they are a registered vendor with the state. They did not give us notice. Okay, so number one, there's no way we would have known. Come to find out, they did get a contract with the state treasurer's office. The contribution was in May. They got a contract in June. Whether it was intentional or not, I'm going to let the treasurer's office have to figure this out and live with their own conscience. They didn't post it on the contract on the internet until August 30th. So here's a vendor that got a contract that did not give notice, and for 2 months they did not put it on the internet so the public would know they got notice. A few days later, she held her press conference. Okay, so let's just get that one on the record first. Then we look at the idea of, is there gray area? You know what? Rutherford follows the law. For example, my opponent has, in fact, it was Allbank, I think it was, Robert Gett, gave her a $1,000 contribution. She accepts money from owners of banks. So don't tell me she doesn't. She accepts money from the political action committees of the banks. She accepts money from the lobbyists for the banks. She has the lobbyists for the banks host the fundraisers for her. None of that's illegal. My point is, where do you say you're following the law? And if by chance we should change it, I'm all about it. In fact, I will more than happy to introduce or cause to be introduced to legislation when I'm the treasurer of Illinois saying you can't do this, 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 and this. But that's not the law today. So Rutherford follows the law totally. And if she wants to call something gray, fine. Be sure that when you do it, you look at your entire portfolio before you start calling something gray. I'm going to go ahead and excuse. I'll talk to you individually afterwards because it is noon. I did tell you all I would excuse myself at that time, but I will visit with you afterwards. Thank you all for being here, and spend some money in Central Illinois.